There were too many Sundays when four or five of us met up here alone and sang and preached just into a little camera. And you were on our minds. We pictured you there in your jammies on your sofa. That's exactly how we pictured you, by the way. But you weren't here. And it was worship, but we always left with the hunger still within us, because it wasn't worship with the people. And it's so good to have you here. It has been a glorious morning for many of us, beginning before the sunrise under the Francis Oak and gathering here and participating in Day Springs traditions on Easter. And this is all enough. It is to me to add just a few words to our proclamation and our communal celebration of this day. You may have noticed that wherever you look, Easter is punctuated with exclamation points. I'll challenge the children and invite them to see how many exclamation points are in the worship guide today, and tell me afterward how many there are. I see some of you adults doing that. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the kids. Put your thing down and listen to me. But the kids, you have your, like, find the jelly bean kind of thing. Easter's exclamation points, the line up and down standing on top of a little dot, something like a stone rolled away to its resting place. Exclamation points punctuate the grammar of Easter faith, even in our music. Christ the Lord is risen today. Exclamation point. He is not here. He is risen. Exclamation point. Alleluia, alleluia. Christ is risen. Shout Hosanna. I do love some Easter exclamation points. Exclamation points are the touchdown spike of syntax. It's over. It's finished. It communicates enthusiasm, joy, eagerness to convey the message. We love exclamation points, especially some people. Apparently, when texting, listen up, older people, if you don't put an exclamation point at the end of your text when writing a younger person, they think you're mad. So if you write, "I'm here," no, that's no good. You have to say, "I'm here," or "I'm on the way," or "dinner's at 6. Texts apparently sound pretty cold, so you have to overcompensate by using exclamation points, and even better if it's multiples. "Did you put out the trash?" "Yes!" When Christians over the last 200 years write prayers or litanies or songs about Easter, they use exclamation points like a 14-year-old with their first iPhone. "Up from the grave he arose. Christ is risen. Shout Hosanna." And why not? Truly, we have much to exclaim the good news of the resurrection. Christ is victorious over the power of death and evil. He has brought to us salvation. These are things worth shouting about. And yet, even so, I wonder if we're overcompensating. So many exclamation points mask the reality that there are a lot of question marks, too, in the Easter morning story. That day in Jerusalem was full of uncertainty and discovery and questions that didn't all have answers, especially at first in the pre-dawn hours of that Sunday morning. How was the stone moved? Who did that? Where's the body? Who took it? Where is he? What's happening? Where's Jesus? What's going on? What does this mean? So many questions on Easter morning. You may have questions too. Do you? Well, if you do, they're at home on Easter morning. Even a geography of exclamation points. Even if your faith these days is more question than exclamation, You found a home on Easter. Questions on Easter are not just questions about a missing Jesus from an empty tomb or the mystery of the resurrection from death. There are questions from Jesus to us on Easter. Why are you weeping? Who are you looking for? Those are questions for us today. They were first from Jesus to Mary Magdalene. In John's gospel, Mary's walking around the garden tombs alone, groping for answers. She hardly knows how to ask. In the darkness, she hears a voice. Why are you weeping? Who are you looking for? Tears soak the pages of the Easter story. Tears fall from our cheeks for all kinds of reasons. And Mary carries most of them. Rebecca carries the rest. But Mary carries most of them. Fear, frustration, grief, shock. Having witnessed the death and burial of Jesus, she carries in her soul the immense sadness that death leaves behind its wake, especially the trauma of the death of Jesus for those who saw the horrible violence that ended his life. And now an empty tomb amplifies the trauma. Her tears fall heavy. There's weeping on Easter and unanswered questions. So many tears. So many questions. Even on the day of all days for exclamation. And that says something important about life and about the gospel. I think it's important to remember that as we navigate the landscape of exclamation points and shouts of glory, questions and tears, those are for Easter too. Actually, they're most at home at the empty tomb. This is a day of celebration and joy, the end of a long Lent, the beginning of new life. But if we treat Easter like a day that requires exclamation point faith and nothing else, we create a 24-hour alternative reality from what Monday's going to bring and Tuesday after that. I don't at all mean to throw a wet blanket on the loveliness of Easter celebrations. I just want us to remember that Christ's death on Friday and his resurrection on Sunday still matter on Monday and Tuesday and beyond. So what I have in mind isn't to turn Christ the Lord is risen today exclamation point into Christ the Lord is risen today question mark, but rather Christ the Lord is risen today. Commas are a pause, a breath, and we need that. That's what feast days are for, and we need feast days. We need this day as a feast day. We need Easter hats and little girls and pastel ribbons and baskets with eggs. And while we're talking about it, what's the deal with the plastic grass in the baskets anyway? We don't have enough grass to pick up and put in your basket? Is this not the most American thing ever? Plastic grass? Okay, but we need plastic grass too. We need getting up early for sunrise service and all those things. We need time and place to eat freely and drink deeply. And today is that day, and thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, comma. Comma means it's not over. At the comma, we're now open to what's to come, to sing alleluia, to bring our questions, and to let our lives be changed in the light of the resurrection. Christ's resurrection is as much about all that's transformed in the days following for those who follow as it is about what happens at the garden tomb. Thomas Merton wrote about Christ in our midst. He wrote, Christ is the Lord of a history that moves. He not only holds the beginning and the end in his hands, but he is history with us, walking ahead of us to where we're going. He is not always in the same place. We are called to experience the resurrection in our own lives by entering into this dynamic movement by following Christ who lives in us. been thinking this year that if Easter proclamations of the resurrected Christ living in us are to be real in the world for today and not just inhabit an alternative, pastel, short-term universe, they must also be real on Monday. If Christ is risen is our faith at sunrise under the Francis Oak, then Christ is risen must also be true tomorrow morning in Kyiv when the sirens blare. But how? I think pastors must proclaim sermons that could be preached in a church in Kyiv. To preach them in Ukraine in this Easter of war. I don't presume to understand what those poor folks are going through, or how to begin to imagine pastoring in that situation. But I think it would have to be something like this. Our tears still will fall, and they will wet the pages of our lives, but they fall on the feet of the risen Jesus, even when we cannot see him clearly in this present darkness. He is with us. The resurrection did not end the power of darkness in the world, but the light has come in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. The darkness is still dark, but Christ walks in the dark. The resurrection did not end suffering. The wounds in his hands and his feet show us that. The Prince of Peace will reign even if men still practice violence, but Christ always walks with the suffering. Easter does not end sickness or poverty or hunger. The church's calling is to walk with those who suffer and to walk together. We need one another. And finally, no matter how awful and powerful it seems now, death is swallowed up in Christ's victory. We cannot see far ahead in life, but Christ is Lord of heaven and earth. Christ is Lord of heaven and earth. So how can we keep from singing? On Easter, if we're listening, we hear him say, "I weep with you. I'm here with you." And remember, not persecution, nor your sin, nor your questions or doubts, nor anything else in all creation will separate me from you. I love you. I know your name. And I have won the victory. Let us walk together now. Let our tears and love flow mingle down and water the soil of this new creation. So Easter deserves our exclamation points. Easter also has many question marks. And in the shouts and the tears, Easter should be written with a comma. Christ the Lord is risen today, and the rest of this redemption story is still being written on the pages of our lives. Who is it you're looking for? The one we've always been looking for, with wide eyes and wet ones too. The one in whom we stand when all else fails. Our hope. Our Lord. Our Savior. The King. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He is risen. He is with you. You are beautiful in his eyes.